We're not talking about the Colts going to the playoffs anymore. It's not about the Colts going to the playoffs. It's about what are the Colts going to do now. There are three central questions to the future of the Indianapolis Colts, both short-term and long-term. They are, should the Colts tank? Will Chris Ballard be back? And is this draft the one where you go get the quarterback of the future rather than just running in retreads year after year after year? A seventh new quarterback is coming to the Colts for 2023. It is not going to be Matt Ryan. But those other two questions are huge, too. This is Inside Indiana Sports Now with Ken Sterling for Tuesday, November 28th, 2022. Brought to you by the great people at BUSR. Go to BUSR.com/Kent. Your initial deposit will be matched in free play to the tune of 150% up to 25 hunge. Are you kidding me? That's a win right there. Let's turn it loose, right? Speaking of turning it loose, Team USA heading toward halftime, moments away from halftime. They're up 1-0. Christian Pulisic with a goal. He got hurt on the goal. He's back in the game. But Team USA's got to win this game over Iran in order to move on to the round of 16. They draw, they lose, they're outski. Again, got to get the win against Iran in order to move on. All right, let's talk about the Indianapolis Colts. Hit the subscribe button. We're going to give away a cool prize, either a Ron Dane or a Ron Dane autographed mini helmet, an autographed Andre Tippett jersey, or a wonderful, beautiful Dante Culpepper autographed three white paneled commemorative Minnesota Vikings football. How about that? So subscribe, like. If you ring the bell, you're going to get an alert every time we go live. We went a little bit early today because, hey, let's face it, I got like no sleep last night. So trying to get some things done today. And I got crap to talk about that I am excited about. Let's go. Let's talk about it. Okay, the three questions. Number one, should the Colts tank? I got three great reasons why the answer is no, and an emphatic absolute no. You do not tank in the NFL. And these are the reasons. Tanking is done to improve draft position, right? The Colts have lost 5 of 6 trying to find a way to get into the playoffs. They don't need to tank to improve their draft position, for God's sake. They're doing a great job of it trying to compete as it is. Why tank to move up when competing has the same effect, right? Tanking is losing on purpose, and that is really bad for a culture. Really bad. Once you start losing on purpose, it is really hard to stop losing on purpose. But the most important is this. Players are not wired for that crap. Players are not rewarded because you tank. If you tank, maybe it allows the team to get a higher draft pick so that current players can be replaced, and they don't want to be replaced. They want to keep making money. As competitors, as businessmen, they do not tank. Coaches do not tank. In 2011, the Colts didn't tank. Both Polians booted at the end of that season. Jim Caldwell, as a coach, booted also. You do not tank. It's not the way these organizations are wired to run. Does it make a certain amount of pragmatic sense? Yes. But that's not the reality of the National Football League or what these guys did. These guys risk their long-term and short-term health every time they go on the field. You think they're going to do that in order to try to lose, to improve a team's draft position when they may not be a part of that team next year? Psychotic. Nobody would do that. No player will tank. Will Chris Ballard be back in 2023? He's under contract like forever. Right, so let's not worry. Chris Ballard and his brood of, kids. A lot of kids. A lot of adopted kids. A lot of kids that he and his wife have had. You got the quarterback up there at Westfield. You got all these guys. They got a bunch of kids. They're going to be well taken care of because he's under contract forever. And Jim Irsay is going to pay the contract. But he's not coming back. And I'll give you three reasons why for that. Well, two reasons, but I think it'll wind up being three. A lack of mutual trust between Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard, and you could see it. The room was thick with it when Jeff Saturday was introduced as a head coach. Chris Ballard looked about as comfortable in that room as he was really uncomfortable in that room, right? Really uncomfortable. It wasn't good. And you could see it on his face, and you could hear it in his words, and it was terrible. You felt bad for him. I didn't think I was capable of feeling bad for him. I felt bad for him because of the way he was kind of shoehorned into that thing. Because if he's not there, what do you say about that, right? You say, well, yeah, Chris had better things to do at 8:30 at night. You know, no. Or Chris has decided that he didn't want to be there. He wasn't on board with the Frank Reich firing or the Jeff Saturday hiring, and so he decided he wasn't going to support the franchise that employs him with his presence. Nobody in their right mind says that, but Jim Irsay, you know, doesn't trust Chris Ballard, and this is why. Like, the Dan Dockett show, Dan's really, really good at interviewing guys, and there are just things that kind of sneak out of people's mouths, and there they are. They go on the record about this stuff because of the comfort they feel in the room as Dan is asking them questions. And one of the things that Chris Ballard shared when he was in studio with Dan was that he was not on board with Hard Knocks showing the Colts in season last year. What's that tell you? That tells you that it was Jim Irsay's green light, right? Because he's the only person, he and his daughters are the only people who have a vote that trumps Chris Ballard. Chris Ballard didn't want those cameras in there. Chris Ballard was right. It wasn't good for the construct of the team, the culture of the team. And since then, you have had a serious problem within that culture and within that building. It's been a long time coming, and we're seeing what happens when a culture falls apart, right? It fell apart during the filming of Hard Knocks. Dan getting Chris to say, yeah, I wasn't on board with that. That was not, and Chris knew what he was doing. Chris knew what he was saying. Didn't want to be held accountable for that. Like, who wants that distraction? Nobody wants that distraction. What are we, crazy people? That's a terrible idea. We'll see what happens with the Cardinals as they are now the focus on Hard Knocks in season. Hard Knocks is great for the marketing of the NFL and NFL franchises, but it is really bad for a team. And that's where it started. And then Jim Irsay decided, we got to get rid of Carson Wentz. I don't think Ballard was on board with that either. Carson Wentz goes to the Eagles. They get a pretty good return on Carson Wentz, and they get out from under the contract entirely. That's good for the Colts, right? They go out and get Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan isn't doing squat, so they turn to Sam Ellinger at the request of Jim Irsay. Yikes, right? Trust gone between those two guys. Will Irsay want to entrust a rebuild to the guy who did the initial build? Like, if you build a house, and all of a sudden you don't much care for the house. Like, you're like, ooh, the ideas this architect had, they're kind of crazy. And we're not happy with the house that we live in now. So I'm going to call the same guy who designed the first one and have him fix the second one. Who would do that? No one. Chris Ballard built this thing. Jim Irsay doesn't like it. It looks like it's kind of reached its apex, has rounded the corner, and is headed straight into oblivion. So is Ballard going to want the same guy who built this thing to reboot it? He is not. He didn't even want Bill Polian and Chris Polian to do that in 2011. You think he's going to want Chris Ballard to do this? It's preposterous. And I think not insignificantly, you don't like Chris Ballard, and you don't want Chris Ballard to execute the 2023 draft because you believe that, you know what, if they've got the 6th overall pick, he might just take a right guard with generational talent. He might do that. Or he might take another edge guy. Might do that. And you don't trust it. You don't trust his ability to go out and get a franchise quarterback. You don't see hope in the architecture of Chris Ballard. You are not going to get excited about his draft. You are not going to get excited about free agents. And because of that, you are not going to renew your season tickets. And that's a problem for Jim Irsay. And that problem is solved by somebody else coming in and saying, hey, here I am. Here I come to save the day. That's what they're looking for. And we're going to go like this. Ooh, he sounds really smart. You know why he sounds smart? Because he's on the hook for nothing. Not on the hook for a damn thing yet. Hadn't made a mistake. Chris Ballard, he's made mistakes. And he keeps running the mistakes back. He enjoys that the guys that he drafts are given chance after chance after chance after chance to succeed to the point where it's just silly. All right, how about quarterback? I'm going to run some numbers by you. I'm going to try not to get bogged down in the numbers. But here are the guys, and we talk about this, and this dovetails in our conversation about the tanking. We got to get a top three pick in order to get a franchise-level quarterback. My God. We got to get the best of the bunch. We got to get Chase Young. We got to get C.J. Stroud. All right. Here are the top three, the quarterbacks back to 2010 who've been taken in the top three. All right, and we'll start in 2021, and we will move back. We're not doing the 22s, because there isn't one in 22. Top guy in 22 is Kenny Pickett at 20. Kenny Pickett can't play dead. Don't worry about Kenny Pickett. Steelers are going to suck forever. That guy's terrible. We saw it last night. That is the best that he's ever going to be, was last night, and he still sucked. Lawrence, Wilson, and Lance, 1, 2, 3 in 2021. Burrow, 2020. Kyler Murray in 2019. Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold in 2018. Mitch Trubisky in 2017. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz in 2016. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota in 2015. Blake Bortles in 2014. None in 13. In 12, Andrew Luck. NRG 3, 11, Cam Newton, 10, Sam Bradford. Okay, here are the guys right now that are in the top 10 in the NFL in QBR. Tua, Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Geno Smith, Dak Prescott, Jacoby Brissett, Herbert, Carr, Lamar Jackson. How many of those guys were taken in the first round? Four of them. Herbert, Allen, Hurts, Mahomes and Tua, so five, right? Wait, Tua, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, that's four. All right, how many were taken in the second round? Carr, Geno Smith, Jalen Hurts, all taken in the second round. So you got it. None of them were in the top three. None of the top quarterbacks in terms of QBR, none of the top 10 were taken in the top three of the draft. Who says you got to have a top draft pick in order to get a franchise quarterback? Who says that? Where'd that come from? Matthew Stafford? Now, he was okay with the Lions. Last year, he won with the Rams. Right, Tom Brady was a sixth rounder. You got to go back a long way to see a top three guy who really paid off to his paid dividends on that draft asset. Maybe Joe Burrow winds up being that guy. Kyler Murray, maybe a little bit, but Kyle Murray's kind of a weird dude. I'm not sold on Kyler Murray. Who are the guys this coming draft? Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, right? But Stroud's got weapons. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a beast. Will Levis, who's a bad decision on 2 feet. Taylor McKee, kid from Stanford. Anthony Richardson from Florida, not bad. But you got guys in the next class who might be better yet. Maybe you're better off waiting and kicking the can down the road one more year with a veteran. I don't know. Do what you want. But to think that because you've got a top three pick, you are assured a franchise-level quarterback, Don't go crazy on me. Look at the evidence. The evidence does not support that. Hey, I want to also share a big congratulations to some of the people who were named and are going to be enshrined in the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. For those of you who live out of state, this is a big honor. The Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame is a huge deal. In Newcastle, Indiana, it's its own freestanding structure. It's just awesome. Eric Montross from Lawrence North, Brian Evans from Terre Haute South and Indiana, we remember. James Blackman Sr. went to Kentucky. I think he would have been in the Hall of Fame long before this had he not gone to Kentucky. He, of course, from Marion High School. Kirk Manns from North Judson. All right. I never liked him. He went to Michigan State. He's a good shooter, as you would expect. How come he didn't go to Indiana? And Brad Stevens from Zionsville. Congratulations to all of them. And there are more that are going in, but you don't know who they are. When is Dan Dockich getting into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame? When is that going to happen? It's got to happen soon. Let's go. I can't believe he's not in this class. What in the world are you doing out in Newcastle? How could Dan Dockich not be in the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame? Seriously. You know what he did for Andrean? You know what he did at Indiana? From 1981 through 1997? Are you kidding? What are we doing? The Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame without Dan Dockich in it? I love it. But there's a hole in it that only Dan Dockich can fill. Tomorrow morning, Breakfast with Kent. I can't wait to talk to you. Look at this. This is a beautiful day. A beautiful afternoon in central Indiana, isn't it? Let's go. It's funny how our backups suck. Strong quarterback class? I don't think so. I think it's a really weak quarterback class. I don't like any of these guys. If you're talking about Will Levis as a potential starting quarterback, the third best quarterback in this class, this is not a strong quarterback class. Watch that guy play. I watched him play against Ole Miss. I've seen him play, I think, three times. Wow. That guy, the stats aren't bad. But the decision-making, you watch that guy play and you're like, wow, this is second coming of Ryan Leaf. Do not buy the hype on Will Levis. I don't know about C.J. Stroud against Michigan. He didn't look great. Bryce Young, maybe. He's funny in commercials. That's a good thing. But next year, you got the kid from USC. Holy cow, can he play? He's pretty damn good. We will talk to you tomorrow morning, bright and early. Big day tomorrow. A lot of basketball. You got Butler, right, taking on Kansas State. You've got Purdue in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. You got Indiana going up against formerly top-ranked North Carolina at 9:15 tomorrow night. We will have a postgame as the buzzer sounds. We go live, so it'll be at about 11:15, 11:30 at night. And the Pacers play the Sacramento Kings at 10 o'clock tomorrow night, coming off a huge win against the Lakers. How much fun was that? Anthony Nebhard, right? Buckets to win. Three-pointer at the buzzer. Buzzer beater. Put your arms in the air and scream to the hill, the mountaintops. The Pacers. Kevin Pritchard, you magnificent bastard. Right?